Has anybody got a match? Thanks. Now I can light an old gold for a treat instead of a treatment. And listen to Meet Me at Parkey's. From Hollywood, California, the makers of Old Gold cigarettes, the treasure of them all, invite you to Meet Me at Parkey's. So come along to Parkey's restaurant and say hello to Opie Cates, his clarinet and his orchestra, Joan Barton, Sheldon Leonard, Patty Bolton, Elliot Lewis, and our genial host, the star of our Old Gold show, Park Your Carcass!
Oh, my. This new book, what I've got here, is be so interesting. It's called The Second Reader. Could hardly wait for it to come out this year, because last year I finished the first reader. I love continued stories. Well, I will just read a couple, two, three more little stories, and then I will have for to put my book away. Let me for to see what is this story over here. Bassy is my cow. Bassy likes to roam in the pasture all day long and graze on the green grass. I like to see Bassy eat the grass because then I know she will have lots of milk for us. That's why we love Bassy, because she gives us milk, the end. It's a very interesting story. I don't think that it'll make a good moving picture, though. No love interest. Let me for to see what is this story over here. I love to play in the barnyard with all my little friends. My horse, my goat, my lamb, my turkey, my duck, and my little pig. I say, good morning, horse. And my horse answers, nay, nay. I say, good morning, cow. And the cow says, moo, moo. I say, good morning, lamb. And the lamb says, ba-a, ba-a. I say, good morning, goat, and the goat says, nah, nah. I say, good morning, turkey, and the turkey says, gobble, gobble. I say, good morning, duck, and the duck says, quack, quack. I say, good morning, pig, and the pig says, oink, oink. Now, Sam, it's the first time that I ever knew what oink, oink means good morning. I better get to work here. I wonder where John is. Oh, John.
Yes, Parky. I've just been writing up today's menu.
Oh, would you mind reading it to me so I could check what you got everything, Rocky?
Oh, not at all, Parky. Let's see. Lamb stew.
Yeah, you better cross that out. You don't got no lamb, you see.
No lamb?
No.
Okay. The next is roast veal.
Yeah, don't got no veal either. You better cross that out, too.
Baked ham.
No, cross it out. No ham.
Well, shall I substitute bacon?
Say, you're a smart girl. It's a good idea, except we don't got no bacon either.
Sirloin steak.
Sirloin steak. Only wish we had it. I would eat it myself. Then I cross it out, and I November what I also told you, liver and onions, beef stew and roast beef, you better cross it all out. Couldn't get none of that stuff today, you know.
Well, Parky, if we cross all these things off the menu, all we'll have left for our customers is coffee, tea, and milk.
Well, that gives them three things to choose from. So, you know something, John? Restaurant business sure be a tough business to be in today.
I can't understand it, Parky.
Yes.
Why should it be so difficult to get everything? The war's over. Who's responsible for all these conditions?
The Democrats.
Who told you it was the Democrats' fault?
A Republican. That's just the way what it goes, John. The Republicans blames the Democrats. The Democrats blames the Republicans. My customers all get together and blame the whole thing on me.
Oh, pardon me, Parky. I think that man over there is waiting to see you.
Oh, yes. Excuse you, John. I'll go over and see what he wants. How you do, sir?
How do you do? Yes. Are you Mr. Park Your Carcass?
Yes.
Then you're the man I'm looking for. My name is Pigeon.
Pigeon?
Yes. I'm an attorney.
Yes.
I represent the law firm of Pigeon, Sparrow, and Dove.
Pigeon, Sparrow, and Dove?
Yes. I just flew in from Pittsburgh.
You better sit down. Your arms must be tired.
I came to speak to you in the interest of one of our clients, Mr. Stanley K. Bismuth.
Stanley K. Bismuth? Oh, yes. How is Bismuth?
I'm sorry to tell you that he's passed on.
No, you mean old Stanley's dead? Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, he's only about 38 years old, wasn't he?
He was 92.
I knew it was around there somewhere.
Well, he sent us this letter 3 years ago and requested that we open it only after he passed on.
Yes.
In his letter, he states that you were his best friend and how kind and considerate you always were to him.
I don't have been so kind. I didn't do nothing. He would come in here every day and I'd give him some hot coffee, a little food maybe.
Yes, but he said you never charged him for it.
How could you charge old Stan? He don't have nothing. You're so poor. He don't got no friends, no relatives for to tell his troubles to, you know. Nobody for to worry about him. You know, he lived all by himself. I guess he was what you might call a termite.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, Mr. Parker Gargis, it might well turn out that he wasn't as poor as you think.
Yes.
Now, this letter practically amounts to a will, and he has left his entire estate to you.
His entire estate? A man like him is having an estate. He used to go around selling pencils and safety pins and collar buttons and shoelaces. But nobody has never bought anything from him. I guess I was his only customer. Every time when I seen him, I bought a pair of shoelaces from him, you know. And I really didn't need them either, because, you see, I wear button shoes. So, incidentally, Mr. Pigeon, you know anybody would like for to buy a couple thousand pair of shoelaces, Chief?
No, I don't.
Yes?
Well, let's not decide what old Stan left until we search his room this afternoon, shall we?
Yeah.
Now, I've applied to the probate court for permission to enter the premises where he lived. And as the sole beneficiary, the law requires you to be present when we break the seal on the door.
Now, look, Mr. Pigeon, I know what this whole thing is just a big waste of time. But if you're in Smith, I'll go over there. But I'm telling you now, I couldn't use no more shoelaces.
Very well. I'll scoot over to the courthouse now and file the necessary papers. And this afternoon, I'll meet you at old Stan's estate.
Yeah, his estate, yes.
Yes, it's at 5577 Warrington Street.
Yes.
You can't miss it. It's right over a fish market.
Fish market. Okay, so it won't be a total loss while I'm there. I'll pick up 20 pounds of halibut.
Fine, I love halibut.
Yes.
Now for a treat instead of a treatment. Old Gold singing star Miss Patty Bolton sings Linger in My Arms a Little Longer.
Linger in my arms a little longer. Hold me tight while my love for you is growing stronger, baby. Ain't right to say goodnight, though it may be getting past your dream time, baby. Don't think twice. Just linger in my arms a little longer, baby. 'Cause it's so nice. It's oh so nice. Linger in my arms a little longer, baby. While my love for you is growing stronger, baby, ain't right to say goodnight, though it may be getting past your dream time, baby. Don't think twice, just linger in my arms a little longer. It's so nice, baby. It's so, so
gentlemen, we're tobacco men, not medicine men. Please remember that every time you light an Old Gold. We're tobacco men, not medicine men. That's why we talk about tobaccos, not cigarette laboratory tests, nor throat irritation, nor do we drum up some hocus-pocus medical claims about smoking. We're tobacco men, not medicine men. And that's why you won't find a single little thermometer in a pack of Old Gold. No, what you'll find are 20 smooth, delicious, most fragrant cigarettes. Because we don't want you to doctor yourself every time you light a cigarette. All we ask is that you enjoy the finest blend of the finest tobaccos money can buy. Look, Old Golds are made by folks who've been associated with the best in tobaccos for nearly 200 years. And we're not going to start selling you throat prescriptions. We've got a prescription for pleasure. And every advanced control known to science is concentrated on just one thing in an Old Gold. To give you every ounce of pleasure that's in the finest tobaccos money can buy. To give you a cigarette that's rich, mellow, and gratifying. Of course, take care of yourself and your throat and everything else. But listen, anytime you want to smoke for the grand fun of it, anytime you want a treat instead of a treatment, treat yourself to a pack of Old Gold.
Old Stan is dead. Left his entire estate to me. His estate.
Hi, Parky.
Hello, Harvey.
Hey, Parky. Could I borrow a little money off of you?
Yeah, sure. How little do you want?
Oh, about $40,000.
Yeah, sure. $40,000. That's a little?
Well, sure. I just heard you came into $10 million, so you'll never miss $40,000.
Harvey, you must be crazy.
I ain't crazy. Everybody's talking about that old bozo who died and left you all them millions.
What old bozo? What millions? Old Stan Bismuth died. You know, remember him, the fellow that used to come in here all the time and sell me the shoelaces? He don't got no money.
Old Stan Bismuth?
Yes.
I can't seem to remember him. What did he look like, Parky?
Don't you remember that broken-down old man that used to come in here with the ragged clothes and the holes in his shoes and always needed a shave?
Oh, is that the guy?
That's the guy.
I always thought he was one of my musicians.
No, he looked better than the musicians. He wore a tie.
You know something? I never thought that fellow was worth millions.
Yeah, well, don't worry, he wasn't. How he could be worth millions? He couldn't even afford for to have a whole suit. His pants were so short, he used to have to wear long stockings.
Oh, you can't go with that, Parky.
No?
I once knew a fellow back home that looked worse than old Stan did.
You did?
Everybody used to pity him the way he used to hobble down the street limping.
Yes.
Every time he took a step, it like to kill him.
Oh.
Well, one day he died, and you know what?
What?
They took off his shoes, and they found out why it hurt him to walk.
Why?
He had 80,000 bucks stuffed in his shoes.
Good thing what he didn't have 100,000, he'd have to crawl. Oh, I suppose he's cases like that, Hoppy, but old Stan, I'm sure what he's done got nothing. But anyway, the lawyer has gone over to the court for to get permission, you know, for to break in his room. I got to meet him there this afternoon for to see what he's left me.
You got to meet the lawyer?
Yeah, the lawyer. His name is Pigeon. Pigeon. He's from that big law firm in Pittsburgh, you know. Pigeon, Sparrow, and Dove.
Oh, Pigeon, Sparrow, and Dove. Yeah. I heard about them birds.
Yeah.
Oh, don't look now, Parker, but here comes Orville Sharp.
Oh,
I guess
my.
He must have heard about that money you come into. I'm going to get out of here before he tries to sell me something.
Well, if it ain't my old friend, Mr. Parkyakakis. Am I correct?
Yes, Mr. Sharp, you are correct. Yes.
Say, I heard that you inherited $100 million.
Oh, you heard $100 million.
Uh-huh. Hey, Brenny, you're in a big money now.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. You're in what we call the upper rackets.
The upper rackets?
Uh-huh. Now, I just wanted to come over here and tell you how sorry I am for you.
You do? Why are you so sorry for me?
Well, now that you got all them millions,
yes.
You're going to start to be a very unhappy man.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Don't forget, every millionaire is a miserable character. You realize that, don't you?
No, I didn't realize that. Why is every millionaire be so miserable?
Because people despise him for being so rich, that's why. But don't you worry about it. No, sir, even if you have got millions,
yes,
I'm going to make the people love you. That's my new business.
You got a new business to make people for to love me?
Uh-huh. I represent a company called, Don't Be Mad at That Jerk Just Because He Don't Work. Love That Millionaire Incorporated. Here's the whole thing in a nut house.
In a nut house?
You see, if you're a millionaire,
yes,
and if you want the people to love you,
yes,
you got to give away all your money. You got to do things to help the poor people. You got to become what we call a philanthropist.
A philanthropist?
Now, let me show you what I can do with your money. It'll make a lot of poor people happy.
Yes.
Just want to give you a few eggs and apples.
All right, dear. Go ahead, give me a few eggs and apples.
Okay. Now, Plan A.
Yes.
There's a lot of millionaires in this country that have been giving their money to orphan asylums, hospitals, summer camps for kids, scholarships for colleges, all that silly kind of stuff.
Yes.
I'm going to do something different with you. I'm going to make you disinstinctive.
You're going for to make me disinstinctive?
Uh-huh. Now, you just give me, $2 million. And we're going to do something that's never before been done in the history of this country.
That sounds good. What are you going for to do with my $2 million?
We'll establish the Park Your Carcass Home for Chronic Gin Rummy Losers.
Chronic Gin Rummy Losers?
Yes, sir. That'll take care of thousands of people.
No, look, Mr. Sharp, I'm not going for to spend no $2 million just for to put up a home for gin rummy losers.
Okay. Yeah. What you want's Plan B, huh?
Plan B? What's that?
Well, this is going to make all the school children love you.
Yes?
Only going to cost you $250,000.
Well, that's a little better. What do I get for $250,000?
Well, for $250,000...
Yes.
We hire 50,000 school children, see? They follow you everywhere you go.
Yes.
They're in front of you. They're in back of you. To the right of you. To the left of you. Now, they're all chewing bubble gum, see? And when I give the signal,
yes,
those 50,000 kids, they release the bubbles. They blow them way, way up in the air. Just picture that.
Yes.
There's 50,000 big bubbles. And they're floating all over the city.
Yes.
But are they ordinary bubbles? No, sir. On each and every one of them bubbles,
yes,
is printed, "We love Park Your Carcass."
Hey, look, I don't want no 50,000 bubbles floating around with my name on it.
Huh?
Some of those bubbles could bust in somebody's face and hurt him. Then people could sue me for that. Besides, I know what bubble gum is high, but $250,000 is too much for to spend for that, you know.
Okay. Like men say, $100,000, my Plan C.
Your Plan C is $100,000?
Mm-hmm.
Look, Mr. Sharp, might as well save you lots of time. You better skip way down to your Plan W. Something to cost me around $15, $16.
What you say? You're a rich millionaire and you only want to spend $15?
Wait a minute. I don't know yet if I'm a rich millionaire. For all I know, I'm liable for it to turn out to be a poor millionaire. You couldn't tell.
But $15, well, it's positively insulating.
Insulating?
Yeah, I'll say it is. For $15, you expect me to go out and to get thousands of people to love you? For $15, you expect me to put on a campaign so that you'll be one of the best-loved millionaires in the country?
Yes.
For $15, you expect me to fix it so that everybody you meet throws their arms around you and hugs you?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I'll take your $15. I'll get somebody to hug you.
You will?
Yeah. I'll bring you a boa constrictor. He'll hug you.
A boa constrictor? That's a big snake where he squeezes the life out of you till he kills you.
That's the idea exactly. Goodbye, Mr. Park Your Carcass.
Goodbye, Mr. Sharp. Wise guy. He thinks what I would allow a big snake for to hug me. Why, we've never even been introduced.
Okay, I got the sun in the morning. fans, maybe we should hop on the bandwagon and make all sorts of medical claims about smoking, tell you about throat irritation and cigarette laboratory tests, but we don't want to. We think you like to smoke for the pleasure of it, for the wonderful fun of really good, fine quality tobaccos. So when we ask you to try Old Golds, we talk to you about tobaccos, the goodness of tobaccos, the sheer miracle of taste in every morsel of Old Gold tobaccos. Let's not kid ourselves. No cigarette can give you a throat treatment. But for pleasure, the pleasure of smooth, mellow smoke rolling tastily on your tongue, come to Old Gold. Yes, if you want a treat instead of a treatment, treat yourself to a pack of Old Golds. Ask for them at your tobacco counters. Look for them in the cigarette vending machines.
Well, this is be a Warrington Street, kids. What number is Old Stan's house you got it marked on that paper, Opie?
Well, let me see. 5577.
Yeah, well, it must be around here somewhere. Oh, there it is across the street. There's the fish market. Come on, kids. Let's all take a deep breath and cross over.
Gee, aren't you excited, Parky, about to come into all that money?
Money? John, let me for to tell you one thing. You know, I'm older than what you are. Never get excited about money, you know. Most people thinks what money is everything, but the way what I'm looking at it is this. Look, money is could buy you something to eat, yes, and money is could buy you a place for to sleep, yes. It could buy you nice clothes and jewelry and automobiles, yes. And if you got lots of money, then you don't got for to work no more, yes. But when it comes to money, John, never forget one thing.
What's that, Parky?
If you ain't got it, you're in trouble. Oh, here's Mr. Pigeon, the lawyer, waiting for us on the steps. Hello, Mr. Pigeon.
Good afternoon, folks. Well, I see you're right on time. Shall we go upstairs?
Yeah, might as well, but I still say, well, this is a waste of time. Ask with a man whether he lives in a broken down place like this have anything.
Oh, my, it's dark in this hallway.
Just be patient, folks. There's only one more flight.
Mr. Pigeon, as far as what I'm concerned, they could cancel this flight, you know?
Well, here we are. This is the room. I'll unlock the door.
Yes.
Sounds like Raymond lives here.
Quiet, Opie.
Okay, folks, let's go in. Well, this room isn't very much to look at, is it?
Gosh, this is the dingiest, dreariest, most decrepit hole I've ever seen in my life. Half the ceiling's down. Look at the big cracks in the floor. Well, how could any human being live in a place like this? I'll bet that nobody in Los Angeles even dreams that a room like this exists.
Yeah, you're right. If they knew it was a room like this, they could rent it for $150 per
hour. Well, it looks to me like Parker was right. Don't seem like old Stan had very much. Nothing in here that I can see. Do you find anything, Mr. Pigeon?
No, and I even ripped open the mattress. There's nothing here at all. I'm so sorry, Mr. Parker Carcass.
Oh, that's all right, Mr. Pigeon. Don't get for to be sorry. I'm not disappointed. I knew what you wasn't going for to find nothing here. How could a man like old Stan leave anything?
Hello, what's this?
What is it, Mr. Pigeon?
What's a cardboard shoebox filled with earth? And look, there's a letter on it in old Stan's handwriting addressed to you, Mr. Parker Carcass.
A letter for me? Let me for to read it. Dear Parky, I don't want you to think that I am repaying all your kindnesses with a shabby joke. But this small box of earth is my entire fortune. And in passing it on to you, I have the great satisfaction of knowing that it will rest in good hands. Yes, I know that you will take good care of this earth, Parky, and guard it with your life if necessary, because it's the most valuable earth in the world. It's the soil of the United States of America. During my lifetime, this small bit of earth was a great comfort to me. Whenever I thought I had nothing, I would fondle this earth and realize that it was my share of this country and how rich I really was. Yes, Parky, this box contains not just a few grains of dirt. No, it's much more than that. It's Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, Valley Forge, Gettysburg, the beaches of Normandy and Iwo Jima. It's the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the symbol of freedom. So let it serve as a constant reminder to you and 140 million other American citizens of how fortunate they are to be a part of this great nation. Thanks for everything. Goodbye, your friend Stan. You know something, folks? I was so wrong. All these years, I thought what poor old Stan had nothing. Oh, Joan, you better let me carry that box of earth. You know, we have got to be careful with that because, oh, my, it's worth millions of dollars.
Sunday, same time, same station. Be sure to listen to the further adventures of Parker Carcass, Opie Cates, his clarinet and his orchestra, Joan Barton, Sheldon Leonard, Patty Bolton, and Elliot Lewis. Presented by P. Lorillard Company, a great name in tobaccos for nearly 200 years, and makers of Old Gold cigarettes, the treasure of them all. Meet Me at Parkey's is written by Hal Finberg and Parker Carcass. This is Art Gilmore saying goodnight for Old Gold.
NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.